Let me give you an example of another big timer. Qarun. This guy was a proper big timer. The Quran with regards to him says, كَإِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّا مَفَاتِيحَ حُولَ تَنُوءُ بِالْأُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر جمعا ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين. The second example that I'm giving you is of Qarun. Qarun, as the Quran says, إن قارون كان من قوم موسى was from amongst the people of Sayyidina Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. Not only was he from amongst the people of Sayyidina Musa عليه السلام, in the traditions it is related that he was from amongst his cousin, he was his uncle's son. And he was so full of himself that under the verse of the Quran, فَبَغَىٰ عَلَيْهِمْ, it is mentioned that he loved distinction, just like the youngsters today, with all these flashy cars, with all these funny colors of these cars and these mobiles and everything. Love attraction and love attention. Qarun kept his clothes one span longer than the people so that he looks different. And such a big timer he was. Again, it wasn't about possessing a few cars here, a few pounds to his name. The Quran mentions, كَوَاتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَسَنُوءُ بِالْأُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to him and his wealth, that we gave him so much treasure. We gave him so much treasure that the keys to these treasures that a group of strong men, they would have found difficulty in carrying them. Can you imagine how much treasure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this person, that a group of strong men would have found difficulty just carrying the keys to these treasures? In one narration it is mentioned that the keys to his treasures when he rode were carried by 60 donkeys. Each key was of leather and it was at finger's length. And each key to a room. Can you imagine how much wealth he possessed? 60 donkeys just carrying the keys to his treasure. And then when he would march on beautiful white horses with purple saddles. Today, people drive these latest cars, these BMWs, 7 Series and these Mercs. And this is the in thing today. In those days, it was horses. And it was beautiful white horses. Just imagine today, if you were to see on the road, 7 Series BMWs, one after the other, every one of us would just look at it, and we would begin to dream, okay, only if we had received what these people had received. Now in those days he would march on beautiful white horses with purple saddles, and 70,000 people would march with him, and they were all dressed up like him. Can you imagine here and now if we were to see all these white horses, beautiful white horses with purple saddles, and men riding on them with beautiful clothes? And this was Qarun. And when the people would see him, the people would remind him, كَلَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. O Qarun, do not exult with riches, being grateful to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like these type of people. وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. O Qarun, seek the hereafter and do good just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done good to you, and do not spread mischief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like these type of people. When the people would remind him of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that this wealth that Allah had given him was a blessing, if it was used in the right way, he would turn on and say to the people, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ إِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. What you guys saying to me, too right, I've been given this wealth because of the knowledge I possess. This arrogance took him to such an extent that the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he accused Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam of adultery. It is narrated that when zakat became compulsory upon the people of Bani Israel, he came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and he agreed with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that of every 1,000 he will give 1 dirham. Now when he got home and worked out his zakat, he possessed loads, hundreds and thousands, millions. And when he found out that, hold on, this is quite a bit, he says, no way am I going to pay this. And he came to the Bani Israel, and he said to the Bani Israel, فَإِنَّ مُوسَىٰ قَدْ أَمَرَكُمْ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَأَطَعْتُمُ وَهُوَ الْآنِ يُرِيدَ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. O Bani Israel, okay, Musa has ordered you to do everything, and there is not a single thing that you rejected him. You obeyed him and you follow him, and now all of a sudden he wants to take away your wealth. They said to him, كَأَنْتَ كَبِيرُنَا وَسَيِّدُنَا. You are our leader, what should we do? He said to them, there is a bad woman living in this village, in this place. Go to her, give her some money, and tell her to accuse Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam of adultery. They went to this woman. Meanwhile, Qarun came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and he said, كَإِنَّ قَوْمَكَ قَدْ اجْتَمَعُوا لِتَأْمُرَهُمْ وَتَنْهَاهُمْ. That your people have gathered here so that you can remind them of some of the hudud, some of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and enjoying good and forbid evil. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam came out, and he addressed the Bani Israel, يا بني إسرائيل من سرق قطعنا يده ومن افترى جلدناه ثمانين. That whoever steals, then we will cut his hand. Whoever makes accusations, then we will give him 80 of the best. ومن زنا وليس له إمرأة. And whoever commits adultery and he's not married, then we will give him 100 of the best. And if he's married, then we will stone him to death. Like this, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam reminded them of some of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Qarun asked in front of Bani Israel, okay, Musa, if you were to break the laws of God, will these laws apply to you also? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam said, by Allah, yes. He said, if that is the case, then this Bani Israel have come here today because they believe and claim that you have committed sin with such and such a woman. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam said, go on, call her, bring her. If that is the case, then the law of Allah will be implemented. They bring this woman. Now this woman, when she came fearing the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she informed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam of the reality and how they persuaded her and how they gave her money to make this accusation. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam prayed to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, that the earth is at your disposal, order the earth and the earth will do whatever you wish. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam prayed against him, Ya Ard, khudihim, O earth, take them in. And the earth took Qarun into his feet. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam prayed, Ya Ard, khudihim, take him in more. And the earth took him in to his knees, and the earth then took him in to his waist. He is begging, he is crying, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is praying against him, Ya Ard, khudihim, O earth, keep on taking him in. And the earth kept on taking him in till Qarun was no more. This is what the Quran is referring to. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ لَوْلَا أَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا وَيْكَأَنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That the Quran is saying, can we cause the earth to swallow him and his dwelling place? He couldn't save himself from the punishment of Allah when it came. None of his followers, none of his people could save him from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it came. And those that desired his position the day before, they began to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that enlarges and restricts the risk, the provisions from whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. Had it not been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was gracious to us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have caused the earth to swallow us up also, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth to swallow them and their dwelling place. This, my brothers, is the result of pride and arrogance. Yet this very Qarun at one time, my brothers, was one of the biggest worshippers of the Bani Israel, and he would spend 24/7 in prayer, bowing down before the Almighty Allah and worshipping the Almighty Allah. And this was his end, that he became the lowest of the low. And at this moment in time, as I address you, the earth is taken in him, and it will keep on going in right till the day of judgment. Let me give you a final example of another big timer. This example is of Fir'aun. Fir'aun, the very one that used to say, Ya Qawm, alaysa li mulku Misra, wa hadhihi al-anhar tajri min tahti, afala tubsirun. He would call out and he would proclaim, O my people, is not mine the dominion of Egypt and these rivers flowing beneath me? Afala tubsirun? Do you not see? He would say, Ya ayyuhal mala'u ma 'alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. O people, I know not that you have a god other than me. Ana rabbukum al-a'la. I am your Lord Most High. Never has there been a Pharaoh more zalim than the one mentioned in the Quran. When the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam drew close, his fortune tellers came to him and they said to him, it is written that very soon a child will be born from amongst the Bani Israel, on whose hand your kingdom will come to an end. Now he passed the order that every male child should be killed at birth. He ordered the midwives to do the same. He sent the army, his police, throughout the kingdom, to every city, every town, every village, every desert, every jungle, killing children as soon as they saw a woman that was expecting. They would punish her and they would kill the child. They had killed so many children, hundreds and thousands. But his own people said to him, O Fir'aun, the old from amongst the Bani Israel are dying, and you are killing the newborn. Who will do the work? Because the Bani Israel, he had enslaved them and he had given them different things to do. Some were farmers, some would do different work. He'd given them different occupations. And his people, Pharaoh's people, would live like kings while the Bani Israel would do the work. So the people said to him, okay, the old are dying and you're killing the new ones. Who will do our work? The Pharaoh then passed the order that the children be killed 1 year and then spared the second year. Now it so happened that Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam was born the very year the children were spared. And Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born the very year the children were killed. And then look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so, that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was born the very year children were killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so that this very child, who he was afraid of, that on his hands his kingdom will come to an end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so that he placed this very child in Pharaoh's trust, in his care, in his house, in front of Fir'aun's eyes. Allah gave him the responsibility of nurturing him, of his upbringing, And this child grew before Fir'aun. He ate from his food and drank from his drink without Fir'aun even realizing that this is the one in whose hands his kingdom will come to an end. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was talking about how full of it Fir'aun was. He told his vizier Haman to make him a tall building so that he could see the Lord of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Haman carried out his order and made him a tall building, the like which had not been seen in those days. Then this fool, he takes a bow and arrow and he climbs the building and then he shoots an arrow towards the sky. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it so that Allah returns this very arrow that he'd fired covered in blood, so that this fool thinks that he's killed the Lord of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And that's exactly what he does. He cannot keep his feet onto the ground. He says to the people, "Look guys, I've killed him. I've killed the Lord of Musa. This is his blood. He is no more." How fruitful the Quran is. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بَغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يُرْجَعُونَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُ فِي الْيَمِّ فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. But him and his horse were arrogant in the land, and they thought they would never return to us, just like you and I today. And it didn't stop here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on the verge of destroying him, and the sea gave way to the Bani Israel, and the Bani Israel crossed to the other side, even then he says to his army that this is my miracle, the sea has parted so you can go catch the Bani Israel. His army enters the sea, and there the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, and the water came down till Fir'aun and his people were no more. This is when he came to his senses, and he said and he proclaimed that I now bring Iman on the Lord of Bani Israel. Everybody comes, every big timer comes to his senses. Sooner or later, Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, كَلَوْ رَأَيْتُنِي وَنَآخَذُ مِنْ حَالِ الْبَحْرِ فَأَدُسُّهُ فِي فِرْعَوْنَ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ تُدْرِكَهُ رَحْمَةً. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam says, you should have seen me at the time, Kahaya was putting water inside his mouth, fearing that the most merciful, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even now may forgive him. This was his ending. The very person who would proclaim, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَالَى, that I am your Lord Most High, this was his ending, that he could not save himself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it came. And this is the ending of one who suffers from the feeling, one who thinks he's the man. And this is the meaning of the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَمَنْ تَوَاضَعَ إِلَّا رَفَعُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعُهُ اللَّهِ. Okay, one who is full of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him down. And why will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace him? Why will the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him down? Why? Because he is taking what belongs to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone. Let me give you an example here. We've got a king here, and you're standing next to this king, and this king has got this beautiful crown on, and all his people are in front of him, and he's sitting on this throne of his. And you come along while the king is sitting there, and you grab the king and you pull him away from his throne, and you take off his crown and you place the crown on your own head, and then you go and sit on his throne. What will be the consequence of such a person? What will the king do to such a person who takes away his crown and takes away his throne? You know the consequence. That king will never leave this guy, and he will give him punishment the likes which he has given to no one before this. Here it is exactly the same. It's like you're taking the crown, not only any king, you're taking the crown of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of the universe. You're taking his attribute of Kibriya, You want a piece of the cake, a piece of greatness. And this is one cake that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to share with anyone. This is why the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-azmatu izari man naza'ani wahida minhuma al-qaiduhu fil-nar. This is why the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ki majestic pride is my robe, and bigness, loftiness, greatness is my garment, and whomsoever competes with me for any one of them, I will not look at who he is, I will throw him right into the depths of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will displace the big timers in this world. And this is just the beginning. Come the next world. All these big timers, all these guys that think they are Jack the Lads, all these people that do things for the sake of show and fame and love, attention and attraction, and do everything for the sake of people, not for the sake of Allah. They are the ones with whom the fire of hell will be kindled with on the day of judgment. The hadith recorded by Imam Tirmizi and Hakim, كَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ يَنْظُرُ الْعِبَادِ. That come the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend لِيَقْضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَكُلُّ أُمَّةٍ جَاسِيَةٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can judge between the people, and everybody will be on their knees. فَأَوَّلُ مَنْ يُدْعَى بِهِ رَجُلٌ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنِ وَرَجُلٌ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَرَجُلٌ كَثِيرُ الْمَالِ. And the first people that will be called before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, as the hadith suggests, is فَأَوَّلَ مَنْ يُدْعَى بِهِ رَجُلٌ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنِ. Number one is the Qari, one who would recite the Qur'an. وَرَجُلٌ قُتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And secondly, the man that was martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَجُلٌ كَثِيرُ الْمَالِ. And thirdly, one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a lot of wealth. These are the first people that will be called on the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ لِلْكَارِ أَلَمْ وَعَلِّمْكَ مَا أَنْزَلْتُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِي. And the Qari will come before the Almighty Allah, the one that will recite the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, O Qari, did I not teach you the book that I revealed unto my Prophet? And he will turn and reply, كِبَلَا يَا رَبْ. O my Lord, yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, فَمَاذَا عَمِلْتَ فِي مَا عَلِمْتَ. How did you act upon what you had learned from the Qur'an? And he said, Ya Allah, كُنْتُ أَقُومُ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَارِ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I wouldn't sleep during the night. And even during the day, I wouldn't rest. Oh Allah, I would recite this book of yours during the night, and I would recite it during the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you're lying. But أردت أن يقال فلان قارئ فقد قيل ذلك. The reason you would recite the book is so that people say to you, okay, this guy is an awesome reader, he is an absolute fabulous qari. And yeah, they said it to you in the dunya. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a lot of wealth to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, أَلَمْ أَوَسِّعَ عَلَيْكَ حَتَّى لَمْ أَدَعْتَحْتَاجُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. Did I not give you so much wealth that you was never in need, that you never had to beg, never had to ask anyone? He will turn and say, كِبَلَا يَا رَبْ. Oh Allah, waqi, you gave me so much that I was never in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, كِفَمَا أَمِلْ فِي مَا آتَيْتْ. Then how did you act upon, what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? And he will say, كِوَاللَّهُ كُنْتُ أَسْلُ الرَّحْمُ وَأَتَصَدَّقْ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would give sadaqah, I would donate in your causes, I would help my relations, and I would give them, and I would fulfill their needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, بَلْ أَرَدْتَ أَن يُقَالَ فُلَانٍ جَوَّابٍ فَقَدْ قِيلَ ذَلِكَ. The reason that you would give is so that everybody calls you, okay, this guy is very generous, this guy is a big donator, go to him, he will donate. Just like it happens in our masajid today, where people stand up and by name, they do it for the sake of name and fame. فَقَدْ قِيلَ ذَلِكَ. On the day of judgment it will be said to him, okay, yeah, in the dunya they call you a big donator, you've got his reward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the one that was martyred, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, what's the score with you? He will say, Ya Allah, أَمَرْتَ بِالْجِحَادِ فِي سَبِيلِكَ فَقَاتَلْتُ حَتَّى قُدِرْتُ. Oh Allah, you were the one that ordered for jihad. Oh Allah, I fought for your cause till I was martyred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, too right, you're lying. بَلْ أَرَدْتَ أَن يُقَالَ فُلَانٌ جَرِيءٌ. The reason that you went for jihad and the reason that you were fought, because people would call you hero, people will call you that you are very courageous and brave. And that's what they said. They call you hero in the dunya. فَقَدْ قِيلَ ذَلِكَ نَبِيَ كَرِيمٌ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ said to Sayyidina Abu Huraira, يَا أَبَا حُرَيْرَى أُولَٰئِكَ ثَلَاثَ أَوَّلُ خَلْكِ لَا تُسْأَرُ بِحِمِ النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. O Abu Huraira, these people are the first from amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whom the fire of hell will be kindled on the day of judgment. In another hadith it is mentioned with regards to the big timers, يُحْشَرَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ذَرًا فِي مِثْلِ صُوَرِ الرِّجَالِ يَعْلُوهُمْ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الصِّغَارِ ثُمَّ يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى سِجْنٍ فِي جَهَنَّمَ يُقَالُ لَهُ بُولَسْ تَعْلُوهُمْ نَارَ الْأَنْيَارِ يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ تِينَةِ الْخَبَالِ أُصَارَةِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. But it is mentioned with regards to these big timers that they will be gathered on the day of judgment as small as ants. Can you imagine these guys that walk, لا تمشي في الأرض مرها إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا, that walk the walk and they talk the talk, these big timers on the day of judgment, how much humiliation will there be in front of billions that they will be made as small as ants, and every despicable thing, everybody will walk over them and will trample over them and tell them how big they really were in the dunya, and then they will be taken to a prison called Bulas, and in there they will be punished like never before, and they will be made to drink from the pus of the inhabitants of hell. The big timers, disgrace in the dunya, disgrace on the day of judgment, and disgrace in the akhirah, disgrace in the next world. We need to remind ourselves that we are the slaves of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the slaves of the Supreme. We are the slaves of the absolute master and nothing but slaves. This is our reality. And we should assume the role of slaves in every aspect of life. This was the purpose of our creation. يَوَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Let the master play his role and let us play our role. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves more than this, than a slave playing the role of a slave. A slave showing weakness, a slave showing humility, showing modesty, showing humbleness. This was the purpose of our creation. Look at Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us learn from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let us look at the life he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for himself. Yet such was the status of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I'm sure that you are aware, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes second to Allah. Sayyid al-awwaleen wal-akhireen. Sayyid al-wuldi Adam yawm al-qiyamah wala faqra. Khatam al-nabiyyin. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of the first and the latter. He is the leader of the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam on the day of judgment. He is the seal of prophets. Yet such was the situation of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the hadith recorded by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, that he says, خَرَجَ رَسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ وَجِبْرِيلْ مَعَهُ عَلَى الصَّفَى. That he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion was with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam on Mount Safa. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Jibreel, كي أو جبرائيل والذي بعث بالحق ما أمس لآل محمد كف صفيق ولا صفة دقيق. I swear by the one who has sent you for truth with the truth that this evening there isn't even a handful of barley or even some flour which the family of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم could eat. فلم يكن كلامه بأسرى من أن سمع حجة من السماء الزعج. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had just finished saying what he said, when all of a sudden there was this great explosive sound in the heavens. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of this sound and how loud it was, became so scared that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, O Jibreel, amara Allahu azza wa jal al-qiyamah an taqum? That has the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered for qiyamah? Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam replied, كلا ولكن هذا إسرافيل عليه السلام نسل عليك هنا سمع الله كلامك. That سيدنا إسرافيل عليه السلام is coming. سيدنا إسرافيل عليه السلام comes and says, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, كذي Almighty Allah سبحانه وتعالى has sent me, and he has sent me with the keys to the treasures of the earth, مفاتيح خزائن الأرض, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى has ordered me that if you wish, إن شئت نبيا ملكا وإن شئت نبيا عبدا, that I can convert these mountains of Tihama into emeralds, into rubies, into silver and gold. It is up to you. If you wish to become a prophet come king, then it is up to you. And if you wish to become a prophet come servant, it is up to you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the latter to become a prophet come servant. This is why we find, and we look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. Today, we are looking for distinction. We are looking for attention. We are looking for attraction. Yet this was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no difference between him and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. To the extent that when a stranger came, he would not be able to tell from amongst the gathering who is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because there was no distinction. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam totally disliked this. There was no crown of jewels or armlet of gold or robes of fine silk. There was no distinction whatsoever. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a turban, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala najma'een were also wearing turbans. If the Sahaba were covering their bodies with sheets of cloth, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also covering his body with sheets of cloth. The stranger, only after difficulty, would a stranger come to know who from amongst the gathering was the Nabi of Allah, was the Prophet of Allah. It was only then that the Sahaba themselves requested that there should be a special sitting for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when this stranger that comes from distant lands, he is not put into difficulty. Let me just give you one example of how humble Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. It is narrated that once a kafir was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's guest. Now at night, this kafir had stomach problems. Thus, he ended up dirtying the bed. Now come the morning, out of shame, he left early before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Now on the way, this kafir realizes that he's forgotten his sword. Now when he returns for the sword, what does this kafir see? He says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, Sayyid al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, leader of the first and latter, Sayyid al-Wuldi Adam, leader of the children of Adam on the Day of Judgment, Khatamun Nabiyyin, seal of prophets, second to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is washing the bedding with his own hands. The Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, why don't you let us do the cleaning? We are sufficient with this type of work. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, no. He was my guest and it is my duty to do this. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the kafir, when he's come to take his sword, there was not a single sign of annoyance on the face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the kafir, that you have forgotten your sword, come, take your sword. The kafir utters, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that I testify that there is no God worthy of worship, and I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. What didn't Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam possess? Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, he ruled the whole world, from the humankind to the jinn kind, from the animals to the birds. When he would march, when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam would march, it is related, إذا ركب فصار في ملكه فالجن عن يمينه والإنس عن يساره والشياطين بين يديه والوحش خلفه والطير مظلة والريح تحمله. But the jinn would be to the right, the humans to the left, the shayateen in front, the animals behind, the birds above giving cover, the wind at his disposal. وَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَابَ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّاصٍ وَآخَرِينَ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَافِ. Keep on reciting the Quran. Can you imagine this? But when he would march, the jinn to the right, the humans to the left, the shayateen in front, the animals behind, the birds above, the wind at his disposal. But in spite of all this and what he possessed, such was the situation of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that كان يجلس مع المساكين, that سيدنا سليمان عليه الصلاة والسلام, he would sit with the poor people and he would talk with them and he would say, one subhanallah, one tasbih is far greater than the kingdom of Ali Dawood put together, because this one tasbih will remain forever and ever and the kingdom of Ali Dawood will come to an end. This is what Islam is asking from us, that we live life full of humility, full of modesty, full of humbleness. So let me give you another one or two examples before I conclude. Look at Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Such was the condition of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz that before he became the Amir al-Mu'mineen, such was his condition that if somebody just praised the clothes that he was wearing, he said, oh mashallah, that these are good clothes. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz would never ever wear these clothes again. When he became the governor of Medina, and he rode all the way from Damascus to Medina to Munawwara, it is narrated that 30 camels were required to carry his personal belongings. 30 camels were just required to carry his personal belongings. Just imagine how much he possessed. However, when he became the Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he became the leader of the believers, and now the east and west is at his disposal, you and I would say, yeah, now he's the man, now he can do anything. And if we were in that position, we probably would do. When he is informed that he is now the leader of the east and west put together, the first words that flow from his lips are, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that we belong to Allah, and the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will return. People are congratulating him, yet tears are flowing from his eyes while his head is on his knees, because he knew now he has become responsible of everyone, the small, the big, the low, high. And what faith will he show to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment if he is questioned with regards to his subjects? It is narrated that different horses are presented before him, and the Amir al-Mu'mineen ask, what's this? He's informed that nobody has ridden on these horses, and it is customary that whoever becomes Khalif, he is the first to ride on these horses. The Amir al-Mu'mineen orders that these beautiful horses are taken to the public treasury, and history has recorded that the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the East and West, comes riding on his donkey. People are waiting hundreds and thousands, and they are expecting him to reside in the royal palace, but he makes his way to the tent, and he wouldn't even take a single penny from the public treasury. He would live on his own earnings of only 2 dirhams per day. And what you would find on the royal table, the royal dasturkhan, was roti and olive oil, and even that was in little amounts that it would not even suffice. It is narrated that the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that he would meet his daughters after Isha, he would go talk with them and he would go sit with them. Now on one occasion, his daughters, on seeing their father, put their hands on their mouth. Later on, he asked the maid as to why they did this. She informed him that today inside the house there was nothing to eat other than dal and onions. Can you imagine? This is the house of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and this is what the daughters of the Amir al-Mu'mineen are living on, dal and onions. So they put their hands on their mouth so as not to trouble you because of the smell. When he heard this, he called his daughters, and tears began to flow from his eyes. And he's saying to his daughters, oh my daughters, would it please you that you eat beautiful food while your father becomes the fuel of hell? On another occasion, it is related that he asked his wife, Ya Fatima, indaki dirhamun ashtari bihi inaban? Oh Fatima, do you have any money with which I could buy some grapes? And she said, okay, I don't have any. Then she was shocked and asked, "Anta Amir al-Mu'mineen, la taqdiru ala dirhamin tashtiri bihi inaban?" Okay, you are the Amir al-Mu'mineen. You are the commander of the believers. The east and west is at your disposal, and yet this is your condition, that you don't even have a dirham to buy grapes with. He replies, "O Fatima, هذا أهون عليها هذا أهون عليا من معالجة الأغلال غدا في جهنم." "O Fatima, this is more easier for me than having fetters and chains around my neck on the day of judgment." Such was the condition of his clothes. That Maslama ibn Abdul Malik relates that I went to visit the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Abdul Aziz in the illness that led to his death. فَإِذَنْ عَلَيْهِ قَمِيسٌ وَسِخٌ. He was wearing a shirt which was dirty. I told Fatima, "Oh Fatima, اغْسِلِي قَمِيسَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ." "Wash his shirt, change it, people come to visit him. What will people think?" She replied, "Never, inshallah. Inshallah, I'll do this." It says, after a while, I returned and found that the Amir al-Mu'mineen is wearing exactly the same shirt. I became angry and said, "Ya Fatima, alam amurukum an taghdiru qamisa Amir al-Mu'mineen fa inna nasa ya'udunahu." "Well, Fatima, did I not tell you to change his shirt?" She replied, "By Allah, I would have done this. But the reality is that the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the east and west, the commander of the faithful, has no shirt other than the shirt that he is wearing." This was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the hadith states, كَمَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever lives a life like this, whoever is humble, they are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He raises their ranks in the dunya, and definitely in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises their ranks. Look at Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Look at the maqam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Jisr al-Qassab says that in the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, on one occasion, I happened to pass by a shepherd. I pass by this shepherd and I see that there are around 30 wolves in his flock of sheep. He says, فَحَسِبْتُهَا كِلَابًا وَلَمْ أَكُنْ رَعِيْتُ زِيَابٍ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. He says, when I saw these wolves, I thought they were dogs, because prior to this I had never seen wolves and I didn't know what wolves look like. So I said to this shepherd, يَا رَعِي مَا تَرَجُ بِحَذِي الْكِلَابِ. Okay, what are you going to do with all these dogs? He said, "Oh my son, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِكِلَابًا." Because they are not dogs, they are wolves. Surprised, I remark, subhanallah, زِئْبٌ فِي غَنَمٍ لَا تُدُرُّهَا. Okay, wolves among sheep, and they are not pouncing upon them, and they are not killing them. The shepherd replied, "Ya Bunayya, إِذَا صَلُحَ الرَّأْسُ فَلَيْسَ عَلَى الْجَسَدِ بَأْسٌ." Oh my son, when the head is okay, referring to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, then the remaining body has nothing to worry about. Can you imagine this maqam? That even there was so much aman, so much peace, that even wolves wouldn't pounce upon and attack goats or sheep. And in another narration it is mentioned, Musa ibn Ayyun relates, that we were herding sheep in the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and the sheep and the wolves were together. He says, all of a sudden one night a wolf pounced upon a sheep, and I said to myself, now the pious man has died. And he says, we worked it out. It so happened that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died that very night, and he died that very hour the wolf had pounced upon a sheep. Muhammad ibn Ma'bad relates that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz would set free Christian prisoners, and the Christian king in return would set Muslim prisoners free. He says, I was from amongst those that would visit the Christian king. He says, on one occasion, فَإِذَنْ هُوَ جَالِسٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُكْتَئِبًا حَزِينًا. I found the king sitting down all alone, and there were signs of sadness clearly visible on his face. I asked the king to what was the matter. He says, "Wa ma tadri ma hadas?" Do you not know what has happened? I said, "What's happened?" It says, "Matu rajul salih," that the pious man has died. I asked, "What are you referring to?" He replied, "Umar ibn Abdul Aziz." What status is more than this, that even the Christian kings mourned his death? And then the Christian king said, "I believe that if anyone after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam could bring dead back to life, then it would have been this person, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz." I'm not surprised as a monk who leaves the dunya, unlocks his doors, and he turns to Allah, and he remains in the worship of Allah throughout his life. وَلَكِنْ أَتَعَجَّبُ مِمَّنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَحْتَ قَدَمَيْ فَرَفَضَهَا ثُمَّ تَرَحْبَا. I'm surprised at the one, referring to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, in whose hands, who had the keys to the treasures of the dunya. The dunya was under his feet, and then it was available to him, but in spite of this, he left this life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he turned to the Almighty Allah, and he remained the Almighty Allah's a faithful slave right till he died. A final example, look at Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayhi. He was the son of the king of Kirman, and yet look at the way he lived his life, and look at how down to earth and how humble he was. Sahal ibn Ibrahim says, he says, "Sahibtu Ibrahim ibn Adam fi safarin," that I once accompanied Ibrahim ibn Adam on a journey. "فَأَنْفَكَ عَلَيَّ نَفَقَتَهُ," he spent all his money on me. He says, "Thereafter I became sick, I was poorly, and I desired something." He took his donkey and he sold it, and he purchased the thing I desired, fulfilling my need. On realizing that he sold his donkey, I asked, "Ya akhi, fa'ala ayyi shay'in narkab?" "Oh my brother, now that you have sold the donkey, what will we ride on?" And he replied, "Ya akhi, ala ulukhi," "Oh my brother, there is nothing to worry about. I have stolen the donkey, now I will carry you, and you will ride on my back. I will carry you on my shoulders." The narrator says, Sahal ibn Ibrahim says, but the son of Kirman, the king of Kirman, the son of the king of Kirman, Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah, look at the life that he's living, that he carried him on his back for miles. This is the same Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayh, that he says, "Nothing has ever made me happy more than three things." And the first thing that he mentioned is, he says, that we were on board a boat in the land of the Kuffar, and on board this boat was this clown of a guy who would make all these other people laugh. وَكَانَ يَأْخُذُ بِشَعْرِ رَأْسِي وَيُحُزُّنِي لَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي تِلْكَ الزَّبِينَ أَحَدٌ أَحْقَرْ مِنِّي. He would grab my hair and my head like this, and then he would shake my head and make fun out of me, because there was nobody more low than me on this boat. This is the first thing. The second thing, كُنْتُ عَلِيلًا فِي مَسْجِدٍ فَدَخَلَ الْمُعَزِّنِ وَقَالَ أُخْرُجْ. I was once very poorly and I was inside the masjid. The muazzin came and he told me to leave. I was so sick that I couldn't even move. He held me, he grabbed me by the legs, and he pulled me and he threw me outside. And the last thing was that I was sitting down one day, and this guy came along and he didn't even consider me a human being, and he came and he urinated over me. This was Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayh, the son of the king of Kirman. This is the same Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayh, that he himself relates that once you were in some place and people would take khidmat and work from me, and sometimes the children would follow and they would beat my ankles with their sticks. He says, one day it so happened that people from my tribe and my companions came and they knew who I was, and on seeing me they embraced me and they showed respect. Now these people all of a sudden began to think, this guy is probably something, that's why they're meeting him. all of a sudden they all so began to show respect. He says, كَفَلَوْ رَأَيْتُمُونِي وَالصِّبْيَانُ يَرْمُونِ بِالْحَسَاءِ وَذَلِكَ أَحْلَى فِي قَلْبِي مِنْهُمْ أَيْثُ أَهْدَقُوا بِي. He says, had you seen me, okay, when the children would chase me with sticks and beat me, that was far sweeter than the feeling of my people standing around me with respect. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. The ones that you would call more timers, the people, the weak, the humble, the slaves, these are people would look down upon, that people would mock, because they are the true slaves of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the ones that are fulfilling their purpose in creation of being a good slave, and they are the ones that will become the inhabitants of heaven tomorrow inshaAllah. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن أهل الجنة كل عشر أغبر ذي تمرين لا يؤبله الذين إذا استأذنوا على الأمراء لم يؤذن لهم وإذا خطبوا النساء لم ينكحوا وإذا قالوا لم ينصت لقولهم حوائج أحدهم تتخلل في صدره لو قسم نوره يوم القيامة على الناس لوسعهم. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه says that النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said that in the inhabitants of Jannah, of those people, those that look shaggy in the dunya, ash'as aghbar zi timrain, covered with dust, their bodies have covered with rags and these shabby clothes, not the ones that all this fancy attire and these designer clothes and these expensive clothes, no, those that look shaggy in the dunya, simple clothes, simple people, covered with dust, their bodies covered with rags. Nobody gives any concern whatsoever about these people. Such people, okay, إِذَا سَأْزُنُوا عَلَى الْأُمَرَاءِ, okay, when they want to meet with leaders, big people, permission is not granted to them. Why? Because they are nothing, they are not important. They are low. People, okay, وَإِذَا خَطَبُوا النِّسَاءِ, they want to marry with some woman. Nobody gives their daughters to these people in marriage. Why? Again, because they possess nothing. They are considered weak in society. People consider them to be low. وَإِذَا قَالُوا, when they speak, nobody gives attention to them. Nobody listens to what they have to say. Again, because they are not important. Their needs are always inside their hearts. But yet, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people are such. كَلَوْ قُسِمَ نُورَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى النَّاسِ لَوَسِيَهُمْ. That if the nur of such a person, the light of such a person, was distributed amongst the people on the day of judgment, it would suffice them. These are the people that will become the inhabitants of Jannah. The very low timers that we look down upon, the weak, the humble, and the slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to act upon what I have said. My brothers, we are all suffering from this illness to some extent or another. And this illness is so dangerous that the likes of Iblis, and you all know who Iblis was and how famous he was amongst the angels, if he was from amongst the angels or if he was from amongst the jinn, whatever. How famous he was. Not a single place that he didn't prostrate. Yet, one little mistake, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ, took him and made him the lowest of the low, and he will pay the price of this right till the day of judgment. We need to live like slaves, especially when such is our reality, as I mentioned earlier. أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَةٌ مَزِرَةٌ وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَةٌ قَذِرَةٌ وَأَنْتَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْأَزِرَةِ. When this is our reality, that our beginning was nothing but a dirty drop of fluid, our ending a smelly corpse, and throughout our life that's all we do is carry filth and we clean filth with our hands. When this is the reality of man, then where has this itness and this bigness and I'm the man and the it syndrome and the full of it syndrome come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon what I have said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to clear our hearts and to beautify our hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all these illnesses. Allah give me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.